This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. For a few years, a large parcel of land off of George Street on the north side of La Crosse has sat vacant, waiting for someone or something to move onto the site that formerly housed Train Plant 6. Now, two local developers want to build a residential and commercial complex on the land with hopes of re-energizing the area economically. Here today to talk about the project is Jim Hill, the executive director of LADCO, the La Crosse Area Development Corporation, and Paul Borsheim. He's the president and co-owner of Borton Construction. Jim, I want to start with you. I'm wondering if you can maybe give us a brief history of this land and the former train site. What exactly went on there and what happened to it?
First, I'll just point out that the organization that owns this property is called the La Crosse Industrial Park Corporation, also known as LIPCO. That is a partnership between the City of La Crosse, XL Energy, and LADCO, my organization, that was created back in 1992 when real estate, putting forward some sort of real estate solution, was the thing that would unlock a desirable economic development outcome. That was its purpose. And so LIPCO has carefully selected different projects along the way.
Can you give some examples of other projects that LIPCO has worked on?
We've bought and sold property up at the airport when that industrial park was getting going. We bought the property over on Copeland from Super Value when those properties were being disposed, and held it until S&S Cycle was able to enter the market. We've done, you know, projects along the way. We built what's called the Second and King building in downtown La Crosse. Several businesses are located there. So anyway, in the middle 90s, just such an occasion occurred. Here we had Train Company, who owned that plant. It was called Train Plant 6, and wanting to dispose of it. It didn't need it anymore. And next door, another large manufacturer, La Crosse Footwear, wanting to use that property. It was a big 212,000 square foot building. For its distribution, they were still manufacturing at that time, and yet they could not conclude a deal because of the extant environmental taint under the building. So enter LIPCO. Train indemnified LIPCO forever on any environmental liability, and we created a 10-year lease situation with Cross Footwear, and they ended up using it for almost 13 years. Well, then Footwear did decide to go to a different place, a larger facility in Indianapolis. Now came the question back in the middle 2000s of what to do now. This is an environmentally affected property. Maybe it's time to tackle the clearing of the environmental offending substances. That would be Train's responsibility. That meant taking down the big building because the problems were under it. You couldn't get at the stuff. That happened in 2009. Train worked in 2010 and 11, taking away the substances, and then the property all along was being marketed, and now today has a would-be buyer.
And there are still some pollutants at the site, is that correct?
No, well, none that anyone knows of, per se. No, one of the substances was oil, and you go to any industrial site in the La Crosse area, basically, especially in along where the rivers, you know, have a higher water table, and there'll be some of that in the water table. The other was a substance called PCE, which was used in industrial cleaning tools back in the day after World War II. The oils were extracted over time, and the TCE was removed because about 10 feet of soil was dug out and taken away. So monitoring has had to occur over time, but there isn't any other known contaminants. What is still existing on that property is on the front of the property, underneath the area that used to have cars parked on it when Train was there. Plant 6 was still in operation. Anyway, up there in the front, there's some rubble that would have come from the demolition of a building or something way back when, I mean, literally back in the 40s or 50s. some rubble and this sort of stuff underneath there, but it wasn't deemed hazardous by the DNR before, and it's the question we have in front of us is whether to just plain dig it out and take it away.
So at this point in time, anyone who lives in La Crosse, who has traveled through La Crosse, sees this land, and since we have a lack of free land in La Crosse, can see that an area like this does have potential. Paul Borsheim, maybe this is where you enter the conversation. Borton Construction and 360 Real Estate Solutions has proposed a plan to pay $1.9 million to purchase this land. Can you talk about why it was that you all became interested in, and thought that you had the best solution for the area?
It kind of goes back a few years. Marvin Wanders, my partner with 360 Real Estate Solutions, and I were both involved in the Three Rivers Plaza project. And one of the things that when we develop a site, we try to look for mixed uses. And I think that that makes us unique from that standpoint, where a lot of people, when they look at a site, well, what's the one use that will work here? And we try to look at more of a 30,000-foot view of that site. And anytime you start talking about 10, 12 acres, you know, it really needs to be purposed in my mind for multiple uses. And when the RFP came out, Marvin and I got together and started talking about, you know, what do we think the right uses were. We had some discussions with Jim Hill, with the city, also with the neighbors in the area. We talked to the Fenagor Group, which operates the old rubber mills. You know, really tried to determine what those needs were in the community, in that area of town. Being a Northsider myself, I've always been very interested in redevelopment of the Northside and just looking for those type of opportunities. And the more we got into those discussions, you know, the affordable housing became very apparent as a need in a good location. Leo Bronson had been looking at this site for many years.
The chiropractor.
And he's expanded his business beyond just chiropractic care these days. Leo's been looking at this site and talking with Libco for many years. He really likes the concept that we've put together. We've been talking with grocery stores. We have multiple grocery stores interested in this site. We also think there's a small retail component. But then I think the bigger piece really is a small business park. As Marv and I discussed, we've seen a lot of businesses leave La Crosse once they started growing, moving up to Onalaska, Holman, West Salem, because there's really not the space available for them to grow their business. And maybe they're somewhere on the borderline of industrial, warehousing, retail, office. And as we discuss this concept, you know, we're looking for that kind of transitional area from the front half of the building towards the back half where you've got Reinhardt Foods and the old rubber mills to kind of make that transition, but still a very strategic location in town for vendors to have customers come to, but also for those vendors, if they have truck routes involved, to get around through the major arteries in La Crosse and out to outlying communities.
You're titling this the Red Cloud Enterprise Center, and as you said, Bronston Chiropractic is interested in space. There might be two retail spaces and about 60 housing spaces as well. Jim, when Borton Construction and 360 Real Estate Solutions came forward with this plan, why did this stick out compared to some of the other proposals that came forward?
Well, we issued a request for proposals, as Paul referred to it, an RFP, back in June. Five different parties responded. Only a couple of them actually were a whole site response, meaning they would use the whole site. Well, that immediately elevated our interest. We've thought all along that's, you know, more desirable to have a plan go into a, you know, go through the process and into effect for the whole site, both from the seller's perspective, but it gives a larger footprint to accomplish things from the developer's perspective. So that was one distinguishing feature right away. Borton 360 has a track record in this market, a very positive one. That always is a very strong attribute. And then the vision that they were putting forward resonated both, you know, again, LIPCO is a partnership with the city and XL, those parties who have, you know, witnessed and seen a lot of different developments. they were impressed with this mixed-use concept. Just about everybody who has looked at this property has seen the potential for an affordable housing play, sometimes called a WIDA tax credit play. That's where the tax credits come from at the state level. That has, you know, been a component, frankly, from day one. Leo Bronson has a professional clinic in mind. That's been a constant. And then these fellows, Paul and his partner Marvin, added a couple of other elements, but especially that small business park element that all just really started to make good sense. So, you know, you add those three things together and you've got a very strong proposal.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. My guests today are Jim Hill. He's the executive director of LADCO, the La Crosse Area Development Corporation, and Paul Borsheim. He's the president and co-owner of Borton Construction. We're talking about a new residential and commercial development proposed for the north side of La Crosse. Paul, I want to really hone in on the commercial element to this proposal. Bronston Chiropractic will be, they'll be moving in for sure.
As we move forward with the developer's agreement with the city, we also need to finalize leases, but Leo's very in favor of the project, and we've been working with him to work out a lease.
Any business that moves in will be renting from 360?
Not necessarily. We're always flexible in how we set it up. We've had discussions with Leo that it may be a condo-type situation. It may be a situation where he's just strictly a tenant. It may be a situation where Leo invests in the entire project. So when we deal with commercial tenants, we kind of give them those options, what works best for them. We want it as a win-win situation for everyone, so we don't kind of put them in one-size-fits-all type of agreement.
And you mentioned the grocery store element that some people have come forward saying they're interested. It is kind of interesting because I looked at some maps and calculated this, but that area itself is actually considered a food desert. There's the Our Town grocery store is a little more than a mile away from that area. Festival Foods is a little more than a mile from the south of that area. So, I mean, is that one of the reasons that you would want a grocery store element to this?
Absolutely. You know, as we looked at this, a lot of people remember that Quillen's, it used to be Quillen's Food House, used to be part of the Menards Plaza on Lang Drive, which was literally two blocks from this site. And a lot of customers from that community, that neighborhood, would walk to that site. I mean, it was probably one of your higher grocery stores for percentage of people that would walk to that site. And as we looked at it, not only is it kind of a food desert, and I like that term that you came up with there, you know, the demographics, I think, are such that for that area, you know, we're probably looking at more like a discount type center. You know, it's not going to be a full service like a Festival of Foods. It's 50 to 70,000 square foot. We're thinking it's more in that 15 to 25,000 and a little bit less limited selection, but, you know, lower overhead so that the costs are more competitive.
Does that leave one or two commercial spaces left after that?
You know, it really depends upon what comes forward as far as people that are interested in that site, because we have the opportunity to put housing above the commercial. So the more commercial and density that we get, we'll be looking at that as we continue the design of the space. So, I mean, it's kind of in flux until you get a critical mass to move forward. You know, once we're able to sign 3-4 of the anchors, which is really your commercial piece, that's going to help set that tone as we move forward in those steps.
Jim Hill, I want to ask you, are there certain types of businesses that maybe you'd like to see move into that area, or is it important to have a business that would be a draw for that area?
Well, in a mixed use, you have a little of both. Paul's already pointed to a couple that would be a draw. Anytime you have a grocery, even if it's a discount, that's a draw. People who are in need of medical services, you know, for chiropractic or MD-type services, which is Leo's business model, that brings people. If there's, you know, housing or living arrangements, clearly every day and in the evening people are returning home and then venturing off again the next day. So there's already that element going. The piece that was different and is added to this thought that Falls referred to as a small business park, is a niche that is important for the area, so that if companies that have, say, an office and a brick facade for their office use, but then do have some need for a higher ceiling to do something behind their office space, they're wanting to expand and yet stay in this area, then they have a choice. Right now, there aren't a great deal of choices. So that's the element that sets this apart and is going to be very interesting.
And the residential component, Paul, why was it important to include this and not just have commercial space exclusively in that area?
You know, I think part of it is just the massing of the space. When you have the rubber mills right behind the site and it's such an imposing building, there's over 300,000 square foot there, multiple stories. You know, I think part of it, if we had just looked at a single-story facility, I think it would have been challenging to make it look appropriate in there. The other thing is there is such a lack of space in La Crosse that you need to, when you do a development like this, you want to look for density and how to better utilize your land, your parking, those type of things. So I think that was the two factors that really drove us that way.
It's one of the first steps in building up in La Crosse.
Correct. And, you know, it's funny you say that because as I was driving down La Crosse Street to come here today, there's new apartments on the north side of the road. You see a parking ramp going in. If you look at La Crosse over the last 5-10 years, you see a lot of infill-type projects, a lot of renovation where La Crosse is going up at this point. And, you know, it's not only good for the tax base, it's also better utilization of your land.
So these residential spaces, will they be apartments, condos, or is there going to be a variety? I'm wondering if you can just talk about the different opportunities and sizes that will be available.
Sure. These will be workforce-type apartments. One of the components is we've been dealing with Common Bond. They're the company that would own them and rent them out. They've been involved in veterans-type projects, so we're looking at having a component where about 20% of the apartments would be for veterans only. You know, and there's obviously a lot of veterans coming back to the States right now. There's a lot of needs that aren't being met. We think it would be a great location for that. And I think just the other day I heard a report where La Crosse was one of the top three, or the third one for size town for hiring veterans. So I think there's been a lot of support in our community for veterans. With Fort McCoy, the veterans that we have in the area, I think it's just one more opportunity to help serve the people that have served us.
So would it be maybe just for a single person, or is there going to be spaces for families to move in?
Yeah, it's really for both. You know, there will be some market level apartments. You usually do a mix based on the incomes, based on the jobs. But it'll be both for singles and for families.
And why apartments? Why not homes? Why not build single-family homes in the area?
Again, it kind of gets back to, I think, expectations and density. If you're going to build single-family homes there, I don't think for the cost of the land, I don't think you could justify the size of the homes that would go there and what the cost of the land would be. I think you're competing. Right now, it's my understanding there's like an 8-year supply of residential lots on the market in our area. So all of a sudden to add even more lots to the market actually drives the price down. And, you know, this is more commercial type land. The added bonus of having the housing there is kind of that cherry on the sundae, so to speak.
So let's talk about Common Bond Communities. This is the St. Paul group that you'll be working with on the housing element. Why is it that you chose to work with them, and what can they do and what can they bring to this project?
They're one of the largest affordable housing companies in the country, and they have over 5,000 units. And Marv and I were both impressed. They've been looking at our market for a while, trying to get into it. We've been talking to them for over a year before this RFP even came up, and we've just been so impressed with both Amanda Novak and Chris Laurent from this group that you know, we felt very comfortable when this RFP came up that, you know, they were already kind of part of our team. And, you know, we talked through it, the process, what they would bring to it, and it was really just a comfort level.
So do they help maybe suggest the best way to set it up, or will they be managing the homes once this is developed?
Actually, they do both. They've been Chris has been involved as we've laid out the space and, you know, what amenities they're going to be looking for, how to do the parking, you know, the scale of the project. They've been involved in those type of decisions. And then they will do the management. They'll own the housing, and they'll manage that for us.
So sometimes when you hear affordable housing, it doesn't always necessarily translate to quality housing. Is there going to be a balance between the two?
Yeah, and I think that's really the key. And I think if going back to Jim's comment about you know, Marv's and my credibility on something like this, is we've always built long term. We don't take a project, build it, turn around, and flip it per se in a year or two. You know, we're the type of developers where we like to hold on to it long term. We're both in our early to mid 40s. You know, but you do need to find that balance. Obviously, the financials have to work at the end of the day. But if you have an opportunity to use a better product, let's say cement board siding versus vinyl siding, we always err on the side of a better product, less maintenance, something that's going to hold up over time.
Jim, do you want to comment at all on the affordable housing side of this project?
Well, I just, in effect, sort of take a nod from those who are in that business. Every affordable housing company in the upper Midwest, but several happen to be located in Wisconsin, we're the first ones to see that opportunity, that not only in from a market perspective, but where the site is located and the high traffic area. So, you know, that tells you something when people whose business it is to understand these things and put forward projects are the ones who are first to respond. That goes back even 3 years ago when this plan was all starting to take shape. So that, you know, I trust those folks as to know what they're doing, and all of us know this market too. You know, we intuitively, it all made sense. So that, and it's something the city has had in its long-range plan. It fits the thinking that those that are looking out for the city's long-range interests. Also, the Northside Business Association and the Lower Northside Neighborhood Association, two groups that have cared deeply for their area and for the community, they have understood that was going to be an element and have very positively endorsed that idea, too.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about a new residential and commercial development proposed for the north side of La Crosse. My guests are Jim Hill, he's the executive director of LADCO, the La Crosse Area Development Corporation, and Paul Borsheim, he's the president and co-owner of Borton Construction. So it seems like the initial costs, and these can always change over time, but the initial cost is about $15 to $18 million to build this. Will it be Borton Construction and 360 Real Estate Solutions that will be financing this project?
Right. Marv and I will be working with, we'll be the general partners. A lot of times on projects like this, we will have some limited partners, and then we'll go to financial institutions to get the financing. Usually you end up needing to put down 20 to 25% for a project like this. And, you know, it's another step in the process, but a step that's well underway.
And there are some talks of potentially developing a tax incremental financing district or a TIF. Can you talk about that and why exactly that would be needed?
Well, I think it really goes back. It's my understanding, and Jim can confirm this, that the TIF is already set up for this area, and part of it's because there's infrastructure that needs to be upgraded.
Roads and whatnot.
There's roads, there's streetscaping, there's utilities that need to be moved, there's fill to be brought in. This is a site that is in the floodplain that'll need to be raised 4 to 5 foot. There's still some of that rubble in the front that needs to be removed, so we basically made a full price offer for the land. to make the financials work on a project like this, you need that assistance from the city so that a project like this can go forward.
So, Jim, is that how it would work? Would the city pay for some of the utility and site upgrades? And is that how the TIF plays into this?
Yeah, the council adopted passed a resolution authorizing the creation of a TIF a year ago in September. The final action on it isn't slated until May or possibly June. But the thought all along has been that even though TIF can become controversial, at least sometimes, what generally is not thought to be out of the realm of why a TIF is formed is infrastructure, things that prepare a site for development. Paul touched on it. If you put all of that site preparation and the finishing of site preparation on the back of the developer, what price expectation you have at that point melts away basically to nothing, because how can they shoulder both a full price and infrastructure? So it really becomes a choice. And TIF was created back in the 70s with bipartisan support in the legislature for the very purpose of infrastructure. This would be an infrastructure TIF, hopefully modest in scope, and that's in the spirit of the city's newly adopted policy on TIF. Use it sparingly, stay mostly to the whole needs of infrastructure, and have a quicker payback, and then monitor all the cost inputs along the way. That's the new way, and we have that fully in mind, and that's what we'll be journeying through the council at some point.
So just beyond the infrastructure improvements, that's all that the TIF will deal with?
Well, that's all that LIPCO, as one part of this, is asking. This is, after all, America. somebody, if they so see fit, can make other requests. But that is all that we're putting forward, and it's, at least for most of us, I think, a generally understood agreement that that's what this will be characterized as an infrastructure TIF.
So when we look in the future, and if this project is built and people are living in the apartments and coming and going from the different businesses that will be put there, what sort of difference will this project make for the north side of La Crosse or even the city as a whole? Paul?
Well, I think it really continues the revitalization both of the north side and of the city of La Crosse. I think our project 6 years ago with Three Rivers Plaza really started that process on the north side, and you see the new elementary school going up that'll be open next year, with Plant 6 being redeveloped. That's another step in the process. And then, there has been some movement with the mobile site in the city moving ahead with the charrette process next year. I believe it's in May.
And Jim, from a LADCO's standpoint, what sort of difference will this make for the entire city?
It shows that the city and its partners through LIPCO, and then partners that come from the development arena, can work together and accomplish something special. This will be special. It already is as far as a proposal, but it will be special and appreciated for years to come. That's always a strong message. Tackling something that needs to be done, and then later everybody being able to be proud of it. That whole aspect of neighborhood preservation and enhancement can't be lost in this discussion or any of these that have to do with new development. It's been a priority of this of the city or its leaders in the last number of years, and now it's starting to express itself in many different ways.
Jim Hill is the executive director of LADCO, the La Crosse Area Development Corporation, and Paul Borsheim is the president and co-owner of Borton Construction. Today, we are talking about a new residential and commercial development proposed for the north side of La Crosse. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, television journalist Soledad O'Brien visited the area last week as part of UW-La Crosse's Distinguished Lecture Series. Hear her talk about the importance of reporting on race and culture, as well as the state of 24-hour cable news. Archives of this and other recent editions of Newsmakers and photos can be found on our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. Newsmakers is also on Facebook, like us at WPR Newsmakers.